Welcome to the Josie Show with artists all from all over the world. You got Tina and Alice and Tina the Squirrel and Josie Pasantino, the teenage girl. All right, this is Tim Garman, singer-songwriter.
It's time again for the Josie Show. I'm Alan Firestone, along with Tina Patton. And now, because she ate all her mashed potatoes and didn't kill any on the dog, here she is, the teenage girl herself.
My dreams are big, but nothing's gonna hold me.
Awesome. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Josie Show Special Edition. Tonight, my guest is singer-songwriter, performer, musician, producer, and engineer. He does it all, literally. My guest is the amazing Justin Trevino. Tonight, you'll get the opportunity to learn more about Justin Trevino from him directly and get to hear some of his amazing music. Nothing better. And if you have any questions for him while we're live, please go to josieshow.com and join in the chat room. You can type your questions in there, and we'll do our best to answer all of them live on air tonight because we are live, people, so anything could happen. You know that. Live things you never know. But remember, the Josie Show Special Edition is played now several times a month on Mondays. You can listen right here on josieshow.com, the same place you listen to The Josie Show. And if you missed an episode, no worries. You can find all of our past episodes on our site under the Special Editions tab. And we currently have 6 episodes up, which include Aaron Tippin, Glenn Douglas Tubb, David Church, Eric Lee Bedingfield, Ray Price Tribute Show, and my full interview show with Mr. Ray Price. So all of those shows are currently up now that you can listen to them, check them out, you know, show your friends, show your neighbors, your best friends, cousins, mothers, and that would be amazing. We'd appreciate
it. Hey, Josie?
Yes.
Real quick, I'll just let everybody know that our radio station is now in the top 5 hot country stations on Live 365 networks.
Wow. Thank you all so much. I mean, we wouldn't be able to do it without any of you guys, of course. So thank you so, so much for getting us to number 5. That is crazy. That is so crazy. Thank you, guys. Keep listening, and I hope you love all the music that we put up there because it's a mix of everything for everybody. So I really hope you enjoy it. So now I believe my guest is here, so without any further ado, I want to bring on my wonderful special edition guest, Justin Trevino. Woohoo!
Josie, how are you?
I am doing great. Yes, you deserve a song. Yes, you do. Hi, I am doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great, ma'am. Good to talk to you.
So great to talk to you, too. I've been looking forward to our interview. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes,
got
ma'am.
A lot of questions.
Likewise.
Awesome, awesome. So let's kind of, you know, start from the beginning, you know, when you first started making music. Do you remember your earliest memory of making music? Was it as a child, or when was that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember it well. I was as far back as I can remember. My dad was a avid record collector, and mm-hmm. We had mostly the old Grand Ole Opry artists. You know, we had Ernest Tubb records and Hank Snow records and Ray Price records and Johnny Cash mm-hmm. and Connie Smith and Charlie Walker and people like that. And he got me into it as far back as I can recall. You know, when I was, I can remember being 3 years old and they had gotten me a little toy guitar for Christmas. And mm-hmm. I remember sitting there, you know, me and him trying to sing, just playing with it. And when I was, I think when I was 5, I announced to my parents that I wanted to be a singer and I wanted to be a guitar player. And so for my 7th birthday, one of my aunts went across, you know, we live here in Texas, went across the border to, I don't know if it was Matamoros, Mexico, or somewhere just right across the Mexican border, and bought me a Mexican guitar for like $25 and gave it to me on my 7th birthday. But this guitar was not a toy. This was a real guitar that you could tune and play, and I started taking lessons. And when they were teaching me to play guitar, the singing just kind of fell into place, you know. And then I think over time maybe singing became more my primary focus. You know, I had learned enough guitar to be able to back myself up And as I grew older and started to figure out what I, you know, what I liked and what I didn't like and that kind of stuff, I was really drawn to singers like Ray Price and Johnny Bush and Daryl McCall, mm-hmm. Curtis Potter, Farron Young, Marty Robbins, the guys that could really sing, you know, the singers, so to speak. And
yes.
And then at some point, I think I was about 13 years old when I decided. By that time, I had started a band, and I was the kid in the band because it was all grown ups that I had playing with me. But I had decided that I wanted to play bass because I knew that I could lead the band better with a bass in my hand than I ever could with a guitar in my hand. And so you're helpless if you don't have an instrument in your hand. You're a little bit better off if you've at least got a rhythm guitar in your hand. But if mm-hmm. but if you can play bass, you can actually walk them in and out of the chord changes. And so when I was 13, I got a bass and I started the strings on a bass. The four strings on a bass are the same as the top four strings on a guitar. And so it's not a very difficult switch. If you know how to play guitar, you kind of automatically know how to play bass. Then it just becomes an issue of technique, you know.
Right.
So that was something I practiced a little bit, you know, and then felt comfortable enough to go out on stage and do it. And I never looked back. I've been a singing bass player ever since. I still play a lot of guitar. You know, one thing I do, I produce records for a living, and aside from playing live shows and that, and I still play a good bit of rhythm guitar in the studio, but I hardly ever play rhythm guitar on stage anymore.
Wow. And as you mentioned before, you kind of being the child in the band,
mm-hmm.
Were you intimidated at all, or did you just there and just...
Mm-hmm. Not terribly. The guys that, of course, you know, we started out hiring the guys that we could afford, and so...
Right.
So they were certainly more accomplished musicians than myself at the time, and some of them, one or two of them at least, were very good. One or two of them I can honestly say, you know, that I've maintained relationships with and still play with occasionally to this day. But,
yeah.
I mean, there's a world of difference between the $50 a night guy and the $300 a night guy. And
mm-hmm.
So at the time I was playing with guys that, while they were my elders, a lot of them probably weren't much better than me. So I can't say that I was terribly intimidated, but I was very grateful for the two or three guys that were miles better than me that didn't mind, that said, you know, this kid's got potential. And they really, the one man, his name is Bert Rivera. He's a steel guitar player. He makes his home in Burnett, Texas. And he taught me more about music back then and more about chord theory than probably anybody, you know. He taught me how to count off a song. He taught me the Nashville number system. He taught me a lot. I learned a lot from Bert Rivera, and I love him dearly. I get to play with him every once in a while. I don't see him very often, and he's up in his 70s now, but he still plays very good, you know.
Wow.
But,
I like
yeah.
that you still keep in touch, though, you know,
I keep
with
in
all
touch
of them.
For, yeah, I do. I try to see him when I can, and he's
yeah.
a dear man. He really is. He played for several years with the great Hank Thompson, and He was the longest running band member of, you know, Hank Thompson's band was called the Brazos Valley Boys, and Bert was the guy that had the longest tenure in the Brazos Valley Boys of anybody, so that was pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
That is really cool, and I want to talk a little bit about, you know, what you sing, because you sing traditional country music, and what kind of you know, when did you, you know, really, you know, kind of just, I mean, were you, as a child, did you just, were you
always
just brought up with traditional
yes,
country
ma'am.
Music,
yes, ma'am.
Or
always, I was very, mm-hmm. I was very convicted about what was country and what was not, and I was growing up in a time when country music was really changing,
right.
And there were artists out there that were basically, you know, shooting for a more middle of the road kind of sound, so they could appeal to the pop market and the crossover market as well. And I was definitely my father's son. He liked his music hardcore country, and so do I, and I always have. And I can remember being a small kid, you know, getting into debates with grown-ups about, well, that's not country. Well, what, who, you know, who are you to say it's not country? Well, it's not, you know.
Right.
So,
it's in your
yeah.
soul. You can't
yeah.
change that. Absolutely.
So.
And you have, you know, talking about your music, you are incredible. You have 11 albums out right now, with the latest being Two of the Usual, which we actually have the single for that one. Can you tell us a bit about the music you have out, where people could hear you or purchase your music?
Sure.
Where can we find you?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, you can always go to my website, which is justintrevino.com. You can order, mail order my stuff from the Ernest Tubb Record Shop. They send music all over the world. And also the website for our record label, the record label that I'm on that I also produce records for, is hillbillyhits.com. So there's at least three different avenues to get a hold of our stuff right there.
Perfect. There's a wide variety of selection where you can go to get his stuff. It makes it very easy for us. Love it. And we, like I mentioned, I'm very lucky to have Two of the Usual here with us. This is one of the two songs that you sent to us, which I really appreciate. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
They're amazing. So how about we just get started with that? Let's play your first song, Two of the Usual, and we'll be right back, okay?
You bet.
I'm ready. Let's do it. Two of the Usual by Justin Trevino. We'll be right back.
We had just set our wedding day, and I took you home, then went to a quiet place to celebrate alone. Then I heard your laughter and turned in time to see you enter.
This is one of three songs that you sent to us, which is even better.
All right.
Yes. But now, as you mentioned briefly, you also engineer and produce albums for Heart of Texas Records. Can you tell us a little bit more in detail about that and how you got started doing that?
Sure. Well, the man that owns the record label is he's not much older than me. We met as kids in our 20s. And his name is Tracy Pitcox. He lives here in Brady, Texas. And actually, he was responsible for me ultimately moving to Brady, Texas, which I just did about 4 years ago. Well, 5 years ago now. That's hard to believe. But Tracy, when we were kids, you know, we realized we were kind of cut from the same cloth. We loved this old country music and wanted to try to preserve it. And we were talking about what kind of started it all. I remember we were talking one evening about how some of the older artists were, and this goes back to the kind of the late 1980s and into the 1990s. And I don't want to step on any toes here, but and I don't know, I mean, you never know who's listening and who ain't. But some of the older guard were making records on the cheap, and they were really subpar to the records that they had made all their career. And I won't name any names, but Tracy and I were going down the road one day talking about it, saying, man, you know, so-and-so's new record really doesn't do him justice. I said, I don't get it, man. I said, I know those guys don't have the budget. They don't have the big record labels wanting to record them anymore, and they still want to record. I said, but the truth of it is, Tracy, I can make better records than that in my mobile home. And he said, I know it. He said, I mean, I already had a couple of records to my credit, and not only was I producing my own records and engineering my own records, but I was starting to do that for hire for anybody who came to me wanting to make a record. And right. So, you know, Tracy was familiar with my work, and he said, you know, that's something to think about. And then Leona Williams. At that time, she was a big part of our organization and very close to Tracy, and she really encouraged it. She said, Tracy, you ought to start a record label. And so ultimately, that's what we did. The first project we did, there was a guy, he's passed away now, there was a guy named Big Bill Lister who was the front man and used to open the shows for Hank Williams. And he was, when he died here, I don't know, I guess just a few months ago, if memory serves, he was the last remaining Drifting Cowboy. And the first record that we made was a live album of him singing Hank Williams songs, but more importantly, recounting his recollections of being on the road with Hank Williams. And so he would sing a song, and then he would tell a story, and it was recorded in front of a live audience. And he'd sing another song, and then he'd tell a story. And so the music was good, but the stories were priceless to hear it from a guy who was actually there, you know. And that was the first record we did. And then I think we did a Leona Williams record called Honorary Texan. That was the first Leona record that I produced. And we did a Floyd Tillman album. We did the last Floyd Tillman album before he passed away. It was a kind of a tribute album to him. It was basically Floyd Tillman and friends, a bunch of different people singing duets with Floyd of stuff that he had written, like Willie Nelson sang Each Night at Nine. Ray Price and Floyd did I Gotta Have My Baby Back. Connie Smith and Floyd did I Love You So Much It Hurts. Merle Haggard and Floyd did This Cold War With You, so on and so forth. It was, I think, 14 songs with 14 different duet partners singing Floyd Tillman songs. And that was the third album we did, and by then we were pretty much up and running. We've done a lot of records on a lot of different folks, but it's mainly been the old guard, and the younger artists on the label are myself and a young lady named Amber Digby, who's doing really well for herself, and Georgette Jones, who is the daughter of George Jones and Tammy Wynette. So we're kind of and when I say younger, I mean we're 40 years old. But well, Amber's the youngest. She's 31, but I'm 40, and I won't give away Georgette's age. but my point is everybody else is up in their 60s and 70s, and even heck, we made a Ferlin Husky record when he was he was 80. I forget exactly how old he was now, Josie. Wow. I think he was 81 or so when we made his record. But then again, you know, it's not so far-fetched when you see a guy like Ray Price, 86 years old, and still singing great like he does, you know.
Right.
And I guess, you know, so much of our motivation was the fact that, yeah, those guys, they still have their singing chops. They deserve to be making good records, you know.
I agree. And I think that's amazing, and it keeps you busy, I can imagine.
It does. Yes, ma'am, it does.
I could imagine. But, you know, it totally pays off. And I read somewhere that, you know, you've won several awards that are under your belt for record producing and Song of the Year for your version of Chuck Cusimano's song, When She Does Me Right, She Does You Wrong. I mean, you've had a lot of honors that you have achieved. And can you tell us a little bit about some of those for us?
Well, you know, those are nice. I don't ever put too much, you know, that. My mother got upset with me because she wanted me to hang them on the wall of my studio, and I refused to do it. Because,
really?
because to me it's kind of ostentatious. You know, those there were other people in the running that deserved those awards just as much as I did, and it was just luck of the draw that I happened to get. I got record producer twice. This is there's an organization down here called the Academy of Western Artists. And they awarded me the Record Producer Award a couple of times, Record Producer of the Year, and they awarded me the Song of the Year for When She Does Me Right, She Does Me Wrong, which probably should have gone to Chuck since he was the writer of the song. But I'd kind of take those things in stride, you know, because there's guys down here. My friend Jimmy Lofsberg is a great record producer. Bobby Flores is a great record producer. And so I'm a little bit... I don't want to look like I'm beating my own chest going, look at me, I'm a record producer, you know.
Right, right.
But
and
that's
I,
nice
I think,
to say, if they thought enough to give them to me, that's, you know, I'm flattered.
Yeah, I also think it's why you're more respected, you know, because, I mean, you know, you're more down to earth and you don't, you know, you're not like, oh, I'm a big, you know, you just take it for stride. That's what I like about you.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah. And so I want to play your next song here, and then I'm going to get into you have a radio show yourself, and we'll get we'll get a little bit more deeper into that. I'm so excited. So first, let's play your song, Texas Honky Tonk, and we'll be right back. Okay?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, here we go. By Justin Trevino.
Jukebox in the corner is playing Whiskey River. The neon star shines bright above the bar. There's laughing, dancing, shooting pools, crying, drinking, lonely fools. There's people here who don't know where they are. It's the kind of place you go to when you have no one to turn to help you ease your pain and misery. It's a hangout for the losers and a hideout for the boozers and a place to go for lonely fools like me. It's just a honky tonk. Where the flipping off the top and the music never stops. It's just a honky tonk, a Texas honky tonk. But it's become my home since you've been gone. Someday we might get back together. I couldn't stand the thought of losing you. But I must accept reality. You're not coming back to me. You found your happiness with someone new. So I sit here in this same old chair, pretending that I just don't care, trying to forget your love somehow. From the top of the world to the bottom of the bottle, I've sank too deep to ever pull out now. Here in this honky-tonk, this Texas honky-tonk, the flipping off the top and the music never stops. It's just a honky tonk, a Texas honky tonk. But it's become my home since you've been gone. Yes, it's become my
incredible. I love love that song. That's Texas Honky Tonk by Justin Trevino, and we're back with him right now. I love that song. It has a nice beat to it. It's so well written. I love it.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you like it. You know, I was in high school when I wrote that, and I actually wrote it for Johnny Bush, who I was already friends with at the time, and he never has recorded it. He actually has recorded two of my songs, but he hasn't recorded that one. But I like to think he just hasn't recorded it yet.
You know what? That's it. I'm telling you, it's it because I think he should definitely sing it because it's just an amazing song. I love it.
Well,
it's
I'm
incredible.
Proud. I'll tell you what. I'm kind of proud of the fact that my friend Jake Hooker, he sings it at all his dances and shows, and Amber Digby also sings it, and she did record it on her live DVD and live album. So I'm flattered by that.
Yeah, that is so cool. That is so, so cool and well-deserved. That's just awesome. And so as I mentioned before, you have a radio show as well called Pure Country Review with Justin Trevino. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, ma'am. Well, there's a radio station in Dublin, Texas, called and the station is called Pure Country. The call letters are KEQX. And the website is keqx897.com. And my show is Wednesday nights from 6 to 8. And then they re-air it on Sunday afternoons from 2 to 4. And we play a lot of hardcore country music, most of it obscure. I try to play something different. In other words, if I'm going to play Ray Price, I'm more liable to play Please Talk to My Heart instead of Crazy Arms, just to try to play the things that people don't hear every day, you know.
Right.
I try to do some of that, but the other thing we do is we're very fortunate to have a lot of special guests and interviews and kind of do a similar thing to what you're doing here, and I have to commend you on your show. I'm really enjoying doing this with you.
Oh, thank you so much. I think that's a big, big compliment from coming from someone that's also, you know, doing it, and you're doing so well at it too. So that's a huge compliment.
Well, I'm having fun. This is a fairly new adventure for me. We started doing this, I guess, about 10 months ago, and all my life, or at least all of my adult life, I have hung out with radio guys, and you know, been very fortunate to be friends with guys like Larry Scott and Bill Mack and. Of course, like I say, actually, my friend Tracy Pitcock's here that owns the record label. He's actually a disc jockey by trade. That's how we met. He was a disc jockey before we ever started the record label, and he still is. So, I've always been fascinated with it, and I was one of these kids that late at night I was glued to the AM radio. Back then, in the 1980s, when I was growing up, there was still a lot of traditional country music being played on all-night truckers radio. It's kind of a thing of the past now. But I say that. There's one lady. There's a lady on WSM named Marcia Campbell that is kind of, she's just in the last couple of years, she has started doing an all-night show on WSM out of Nashville, Tennessee. And so she's kind of brought the format back a little bit, and I'm very, very grateful for her that she has. And I don't know Marcia very well. I met her one time, and I need to get in touch with her just to tell her that I'm very happy that she's doing what she's doing, because it was kind of a lost thing. But I grew up listening to guys like Larry Scott and Bill Mack, and there was a guy in New Orleans named John Parker. John Parker has passed away now, but he had a show. Not only did he play the music, but he was a wealth of information about the music, and so I got my country music education listening to guys like that, and of course, like I told you earlier, I was already very, very taken with traditional country music. So you can imagine, as a small kid growing up, when I say small kid, by the time I was old enough to stay up and hang with that kind of stuff, I was getting to be 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 years old until I was in my early teens, and I was glued to that radio, you know, staying up way later than I was supposed to, just to listen to these guys and learn everything I could. And so I have tried, of course, my show is just 2 hours one day a week, but I have tried to kind of pattern my show after that, not necessarily the truck driving part of it, but the idea of playing these records and telling people, you know, a little bit of history about the music itself.
Absolutely. I love that. I think you just keep going with what you're doing because you're doing so many great things. And I probably don't have to wish you any luck, but I'm going to do it anyway because you are doing just amazing. And
well,
I thank you for that.
I thank you for that, Josie. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you're doing really well with your show. You've been doing this for quite a while now, haven't you?
I started when I was 14, and I was interesting back then because I, obviously being 14, I didn't know exactly what I was doing. All I wanted to do was talk. But now I'm getting a little better at it.
Well, I tell you what, I think you're doing great, and I thank you for letting me be a part of it. And I wish you all the best with your program.
Oh, thank you so much. And you too, and all of your music and everything. Absolutely. And keep in touch with us too, all right?
Yes, ma'am. We certainly will.
Sounds great. And I have some fun questions here for you before we play your last song of the night.
Okay.
I love my fun questions. So the first one here, you know, I love asking this next question because, you know, you're human and, you know, when you're live, basically anything could happen. I mean, you're on stage in front of tons of people and you're kind of like just, you're doing your thing. But have you ever had any kind of embarrassing onstage moments that you can recall while you're live?
Mm-hmm. The last guy that asked me that, the interview was not going very well, and I recounted an embarrassing moment that I won't do it again. I did it once, and I did it about half out of spite. But let me try to think of one that's a little less harmful.
Sounds good.
goodness gracious. You know, it's hard to say. I can't think of anything too terribly embarrassing. I tell you what, there was one. Okay, I've got one for you. We played played a wedding for a dear friend of mine who's also in the radio business, and we played her wedding here. Oh, it's been a few years ago, and she had a fan that had come from overseas to come to her wedding, and the guy. We didn't really know him. I kind of knew who he was just from being introduced to him. But he came up to the stage during the wedding reception, and he said, "I want to sing a song for my friends." And he said, "I want to do 'Love's Gonna Live Here.'" And I said, "Okay, what key?" He said, "G." Well, that's kind of my first test. If you can tell me what key you sang the song in, I tend to think, okay, this guy knows a little bit about singing. He'll probably be okay, you know.
Right.
That guy got up there. And Josie, he wasn't just a little bit off. He was nowhere in the hunt.
Oy vey.
I mean, he wasn't even in the ballpark. And we let him go on and do his thing. And by that time, I was almost on my knees. I was laughing so hard. And it was, you know, I said, "How about a hand for old so and so?" I can't remember his name now, but I said, "How about a hand for this guy?" And of course, the whole band is cracking up behind me. Because you'd kind of had to been there, but the guy had there was an old singer named Slim Whitman.
Mm-hmm.
And Slim Whitman was one of those singers that you either loved him or you hated him. Because he he had that little thing in his voice like, "Oh, the sun's going to shine in my life once more."
Yeah.
He kind of sang like that, and this guy sounded like that, except way off key. And so it was, you know, we were just completely destroyed by the end of the deal. It was the funniest thing any of us had ever had to deal with. And I turned to the boys and I said, "Okay, guys, I got to sing. I got to get control of this situation." And I called a song. I said, "Let's do Another Bridge to Burn." And they kicked it off. And I got to the microphone and I started to sing, "I've had to burn." And I just busted out laughing. And I couldn't control myself. There wasn't nothing I could do but turn away.
Right.
From the microphone. It was a bad deal. Luckily, the bride and groom had stepped outside for a minute. They missed the whole thing.
Oh, wow. They didn't even know what happened
there,
They didn't even know
that it was going on. I asked them about it later, and they said, "Well, we heard about it. We didn't actually see it."
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's crazy. Yeah, I mean, what can you do at that point? You know,
there's not much you can do, you know.
Yeah.
I wish I were the better picture of self-control. I shouldn't have been that tickled by it, but I couldn't help it.
You couldn't help it. You couldn't help it. You had one of those moments. It's
exactly.
All good.
Exactly.
That is funny. That is funny. Well, I tell you, anything happens live. So, you know, I knew you had to have one at least. I love that question. And another fun question here for you. What do you like to do for fun, some hobbies when you're not working, you know, producing music, making your music, you know, your radio show? What do you like to do on your downtime?
You know, we don't do a whole lot. It's kind of pathetic, really. I work at the studio during the week, and then on weekends is mostly when we have our live shows. So it seems like we don't have a whole lot of time for recreation, but I try to take advantage. You know, we travel a lot on weekends, and so I try to take advantage of when we're going places we've never been. I always try to find a good restaurant. I try to find something about the local area that, you know, I try to experience as much as I can, other than just the truck going down the highway. You know,
right.
And so we go into some of their shops and try to eat at their local establishments and that kind of thing, and just that way we can really say we've been there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw more than just the inside of the dance hall and the gas station as we were going out of town, you know.
Oh, that's good. Wow.
Yeah, so I try to do that.
I like it.
Other than that, I don't have a whole lot of, you know, I used to dabble in electronics some when I was a kid, which is probably kind of what got me on the path of being a recording engineer. And the other day I was having to put something together, and I thought to myself, boy, I haven't done this kind of, you know, soldering and you know, just this kind of handiwork. You know, it's been probably 20 years since the last time I had a soldering iron in my hand. So
wow.
It was kind of fun to, you know, it's like,
yeah.
Okay, can you, you know, let's see if I can still do it. You know, and do I still remember how?
Right.
But, yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. And I mean, between everything that you do, I mean, it keeps you busy. You know, anyway, I mean, so. But I mean, it's cool that you get your downtime too, because you need it. And another fun question here for you, the last fun question. Who have you met that has made the biggest impression on you or your career? Any, like, a great story that, you know, you could share with us of someone that you got to meet that you maybe admire or, you know, you see on the TV or radio?
Sure.
Do you have one of those kind of
sure.
cute
well,
stories?
Well, I tell you what, it's hard to narrow it down because there have been a few, and I say that with complete humility because it still amazes me when I think about how many of my heroes I have actually gotten to work with.
Yeah.
You know, Johnny Bush, when I was growing up, Johnny Bush was the guy that I thought, if I could just sing like that guy. And
mm-hmm.
I wound up being a member of his band. And I was in his band, I think, for like 12 years. And I still
mm-hmm.
produce his records to this day. And we just played together this past Saturday night and had a great time. Johnny actually got me my first record contract. And so he would probably be at the top of the list. I can genuinely say, of everybody, all the mentors and heroes and people that I've gotten to work for or work with and gotten to know in this business, he was at the top of the heap for me, and he has been very helpful all through my career and continues to be.
Absolutely.
But other ones, Connie Smith. Connie Smith has been very gracious to me. The first time I hosted the Midnight Jamboree, she came out and got up on stage and sang a couple of songs with me. And Connie is one of my favorite female singers of all time.
Mm-hmm.
There's another lady named Dawn Sears, who's another one of my favorite singers, and that was actually Dawn singing harmony on that recording of Two of the Usual that
you
just played. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a guy down here named Tony Booth that I've always looked up to, and I produced two of his last three albums. My friend Jimmy Lossberg produced the most recent one, but there again, I never dreamed that I'd be producing and engineering and singing harmony on Tony Booth records. Actually,
mm-hmm.
on my Two of the Usual album, Tony and I have recorded a duet called Better Class of Losers. I've also got a duet with Jan Howard on that album, a song called Gold Watch and Chain. And Jan, you know, one thing that I try to do, Josie, and it's funny you should ask, I don't want to. I don't want to. I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but I try to record with as many of my heroes as I can, and and I try to do one or two on every album. And so, I have recorded with Wanda Jackson, who is also a dear friend of mine. Wanda Jackson, and that song that we recorded was an old song of hers called "What Have We Done," and it was actually featured in a movie called "The Valley of Elah," which is about a kid that gets stranded over in Iraq and his parents go looking for him. And and so Wanda and I recorded that song together. Jimmy C. Newman and I have recorded together. Of course, Johnny Bush, Tony Booth, Jan Howard, Daryl McCall. You know, I'm surely Curtis Potter, another one of my favorite singers. I've recorded a lot of duets, and I'm very proud of the duets that I have recorded because they are all people that have been very influential in my formative years. These are the people whose records I've been buying and listening to since I was a small child, and never dreamed that I'd get to sing with them. You know.
So cool. That is so cool. And, you know, what I think is really cool is, you know, not only are you, you know, doing your thing, kind of, you know, making your own music, but also you get the chance to meet great people along the way and, you know, meet your heroes and kind of, you're having fun with it, you know? You don't,
you know
obviously there's a business side, but then,
I try to do that because as far as me making a record and going and recording 12 songs, that's not a problem. I've got my own studio. I can do it anytime. But I get more enjoyment, I think, out of recording with my friends and recording with my mentors and heroes when I can. And the thing about it, like I said before, most of those guys are in their 70s now. We got to get them while they're, you know, I don't mean to sound morbid, but we got to get them while they're still here and able to make music.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think we need to preserve as much of it as we can while we can.
Yes, definitely. You know, have them... you know, I mean, sing with your heroes and just, you know, something to remember, you know? I mean,
absolutely.
Those experiences will stay with you forever, you know?
Exactly.
I think that is incredible, and you should keep doing that and keep having fun with it like you're doing because, I mean, nothing better than having, you know, music that you could look, you know, back on and be like, you know, I'm very proud of this, I was, you know, I had fun on that one, you know what I mean?
Right.
Have kind of
right.
memories like that. Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, those were my fun questions. I hope they weren't too crazy.
No, ma'am, not at all.
Awesome, good. So let's put your last song here for tonight, Neon Sun, and we'll be right back, okay?
Okay, you bet.
All right, here we go, Neon Sun by Justin Trevino.
Flashing lights are calling me, it's time for me to go to my mansion with the hardwood floors, the only home I know. The jukebox is my radio, it plays my favorite song. Several hours where you can't interrupt, then I'll head back to been painted, girl. Lead me to my bar stool of memories to drown. And I won't want to leave until that neon sun goes down.
Neon Sun by Justin Trevino. And remember, you can check him out at justintrevino.com. Check out his website, everything on it. It's amazing. And I just want to thank you so, so much for being a guest on the Josie Show tonight.
Do we have just a few more seconds here?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
You had mentioned Chuck Cusimano a minute ago writing When She Does Me Right. He also wrote that song right there, Neon Sun.
Really?
Absolutely. I recorded two of Chuck's songs on that album. The album is called Take One Is Needed for Pain, and I recorded two Chuck Cusimano songs, When She Does Me Right, She Does You Wrong, and Neon Sun. And so that's one of Chuck's. And the other thing that I was thinking a minute ago, every time you start to list a bunch of people, you're afraid you're going to leave somebody out.
And
as per our conversation about duet partners, one person that I need to mention, I recorded a duet with my dear friend, Pretty Miss Norma Jean, and we recorded a song called Love Is No Excuse that was written by Justin Tubb. Norma, I have produced two of her albums, a country album and a gospel album, and we're fixing to start on the third one this coming Monday. So we're looking forward to doing that. She was a very, very popular female singer back in the 1960s and 70s, and she was the girl singer on the Porter Wagoner Show originally, and then she was replaced by Dolly Parton. But she had a long run there before Dolly came along, and as a matter of fact, there were a lot of, at that time, you know, this was before Dolly Parton was the icon that she is today. At that time, there were a lot of fans that were really disappointed because they wanted to see Norma Jean. They didn't want to see Dolly Parton. So Norma definitely has a huge place in the country music history book, and is a dear friend and a dear lady. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention that she and I had recorded the song together. And I guess the other thing, this young lady is somebody that I have kind of helped get started in her career, and she has taken off and is really, really has blossomed into a great artist in her own right, and she's doing wonderful things right now. Miss Amber Digby, she and I recorded a duet record together called a whole album of duets called Keeping Up Appearances, and we're fixing to do our second duet album, so I'm looking forward to that as well. So that's a couple more folks that I would be remiss if I didn't mention favorite singing partners of mine.
Right. Well, there's a lot of songs and new, you know, things that we could hear both of you guys in, you know, that we have to look forward to. So that's very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
More
Absolutely.
Music.
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Awesome. That sounds great. And I'm going to keep, you know, of course, I'm going to keep an eye and see what everything you're doing and check out everything. And I just think you're incredible. And I'm a fan.
Well, that's very kind of you. I have to say, I'm a fan of yours. I haven't actually gotten to hear your live show, but I did get to hear one of your records on the internet, and you're quite the singer yourself, Josie.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, thank you so, so much. I think you are amazing, such a great down-to-earth guy, and everyone, please check him out, justintrevino.com. And do you also have, like, a Facebook and, you know, social networking sites where people can chat with you?
I hate to say it, but I really don't. I really
no
don't.
Problem.
We've got the website and the lady that does my website is she don't want to mess with Facebook, and I certainly don't want to mess with it. So for right now, we've got the website and that's it. And of course, it tells people how to get in touch with us if they want to book us and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly, it's all on the website. Just go there. That's awesome.
Yes, ma'am.
Love it. Thank you so, so much for coming on the show, and you can come back anytime. You are awesome.
Well, thank you very much, Josie. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it, and I wish you the best of luck, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
You too. Talk to you soon. Keep in touch. Thank you
so much.
All right.
Take care.
Take care. Justin Trevino, everyone. Yes. Awesome. That's a great guy. I got to, you know, get to know him a little bit better and check out his great music. Remember, JustinTrevino.com. That's the one website you need to go to with everything about him. And it's a great website. I checked it out before the show, and it's great. It has everything that you will ever need on Justin, and it's amazing. And so please check it out. Yeah.
We got two special guests in the chat room tonight. We got Mr. Tim Garman, our VIP member and former guest. And we got our good friend, the cutie from England, Vicky, who's with us tonight having fun.
Awesome. Well, see, as long as they're having fun, that is all that matters. I'm telling you. That is awesome. Thank you, Tim Garman and Vicky. You two are amazing. Mwah. And I want to give also a thank you to everyone that, you know, is not able to be in the chat room or on a computer, you know, in this time. You know, maybe you're working or doing something. So thank you so much for everyone that's listening to the archives, you know, if you're going to do that, and also listening by phone and all the other places you can find us pretty much. And I hope you guys enjoyed the interview with Justin Trevino. And also, you know, I want to thank you all so much for tuning in tonight and just joining me for another special edition episode of The Josie Show. I had such a great time tonight. Hope you guys did too. And remember, we will keep this interview up on our special editions tab at josieshow.com, that one website that, you know, is for The Josie Show, Josie Show Special Edition, just that one website. Just bookmark it, and you'll always be able to see what we got up. So you can listen again or tell all your friends to listen, all that fun stuff. And we will be back again with The Josie Show Special Edition on Monday, April 8th, with special guest Bill Green. And so until then, remember to tune in weekly on Friday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern to the live Josie Show at josieshow.com. I believe this was actually our first live special edition show, too. This might be our second. Wow, that's really cool. Love it. And so, just check it out, josieshow.com. Also, don't forget to tune in to our 24/7 to my licensed radio show, radio station, Josie's Country Blast Radio, at josieskountryblastradio.com. And when The Josie Show isn't live on Fridays or Mondays, you can also hear the station played at josieshow.com. So josieskountryblastradio.com.
If you want to pass episodes of the special edition, they're not in the archives. They're under special edition tab.
Oh, yeah, they're under special edition tab. Thank you. There you go. So check that out.
Coming up in July, we got our 200th episode and our fourth year anniversary in September.
Wow, 4 years already. That is crazy. It just flies by, I'm telling you. This was another great episode, and I'm excited for my 200th. I'm excited for my next one. I mean, I'm just excited, period. So I am your host, Josie Basantino, everyone. And until next time, remember, sometimes you have to make the hard decisions and turn your world upside down to achieve your dreams. Go after what you want, make great friends along the way, and love the whole journey. Bye, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. And thank you to Justin Trevino and everyone in our chat room and also on the phone lines for tuning in on the archives. Bye.